Well, perhaps as I was pounding away on the treadmill at cardiac rehab early this past Wednesday morning. Some of you have been there. Perhaps I should have been listening to a Beatles playlist through my iPhone headphones, what with Beatles Sunday rapidly approaching. But instead, I opted for some reggae. And Jimmy Cliff's You Can Get It If You Really Want came on. It seemed an apt choice for a physical fitness program with its catchy and upbeat refrain. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try. Try and try. Try and try. You'll succeed at last. Well, sometimes we think of our life of faith in similar terms, as a journey, as a long and winding road. See, I worked the Beatles in right there. Our life of faith as a long and winding road, which we covenant together here to undertake with one another. We set our feet on the path of faith, and we keep at it one step at a time, as we read in Scripture, by persevering, we shall see the fruits. We'll succeed at last. Our church covenant begins, we solemnly and faithfully covenant together with God and with one another to walk in all God's ways. To walk in all God's ways. We tend to think of our life of faith as a search for meaning, a journey towards discovery of the point of it all, a quest for the creator of this world and this life, a search for God. And this approach, this perspective, is not unique to us here in this meeting house. And indeed, the phenomenal growth of many evangelical churches has often been rooted in their appeal to the demographic known as seekers, to those who may have grown up without a faith tradition and who are seeking for spiritual answers. And of course, this seeking is not confined to the Christian traditions, as the increasingly diverse religious landscape in our nation attests. I think the upside of this way of thinking is that it gives us a sense of agency, a sense that we are in charge, a feeling that if we just get out of that spiritual chair and get to work, if we put our nose to the grindstone and persevere, the destination is achievable. But at the same time, the downside of this focus on achievement is that, as with all forms of exercise and work, it can just be exhausting. And more than that, we doubt our ability to actually see the journey through. For many of us know deep in our heart that we're no spiritual Magellan or Edmund Hillary. We're not an Amelia Earhart or a Sally Ride. We don't pray as we ought. We don't stay up late at night studying the Bible. We avoid, like the plague, the spirituality section of the bookstore. We don't wake up each day thinking, my God, here's another opportunity to further Christ's mission in the world. Well, the good news for us today is that, well, yes, Jesus is depicted as inviting people on a journey. This image of life as being a long and winding road in search of God is not the story of the Bible. No, the story of the Bible is an amazing one. It's an amazing story of God's extraordinary and unwavering search for us. Look at today's passage from Matthew. His telling of the very first thing that Jesus did when he began his ministry. First, a little historical background. Jesus was not the first or only rabbi to have disciples, students, followers. But asking people to become their disciples was just not done. It was considered to be beneath a rabbi. Others were supposed to come to the rabbi, having heard of them and their wisdom and their reputation as teachers. But Jesus, instead, goes around asking people to follow him. He walks right up to Peter and Andrew, sees them going about their business as fishermen, and he invites them to follow him. And then he sees James and John, other fishermen, and he invites them along as well. And this is the story of Jesus from the get-go. Think about Christmas, that holiday we just celebrated. Mary and Joseph, those shepherds on the hillside, there's no indication that they were searching for anything. And yet God found them. In his gospel, John puts it this way, the people who sat in darkness, have seen a great light. Those who sat in the darkness suddenly are illuminated by a light, one which they had not kindled, but one which comes to them. And so in his ministry, Jesus is always out and about seeking out people, turning their worlds upside down, reaching out to them. Think of tiny Zacchaeus, the little fellow who Jesus invites over to dinner. Think of how on the road to Emmaus, the risen Christ speaks to the two disciples who don't recognize him, explaining all that had happened in the terrible week that had just gone by. And he is finally recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And Jesus tells story after story after story about how God is always after us. Not the other way around. Think of the shepherd who, abandoning all caution, goes out in search of the one lost sheep. Think of the woman who rips apart her house in search of that one lost coin. Think of the man who sells everything he has to buy that field where there is one pearl hidden. This Jesus tells us, this is how it works. Yes, there is a long and winding road, but it is not us on it in search of God. It is God on it who trods the way in search of us. Jesus came to seek out and save the lost, which means the only requirement to getting found by God is to be lost. And the thing is, you know that when you're lost, the important thing is to be alert, to pay attention, to keep your eyes open, your sense of wonder awake. Think about it. Had Peter and Andrew not looked up from their nets when Jesus called to them, think how their lives would have been different. Had Zacchaeus figured out that sitting in that tree beat having the rabbi over for dinner, would he have been able to escape the rut he had been in? What about those unnamed women who followed Jesus throughout Galilee and onto Jerusalem, who provided for Jesus and his disciples? Would their lives have been transformed had they refused to look up when his dusty feet crossed the threshold into their homes? What was it, looking back at your life, that made all the difference for you? What was the sign that somehow you picked up that God was trying to break into your life? Maybe it was something you at first chalked up to coincidence. But the more you struggled with it, the more inescapable came the conclusion that God was at work intruding into your life, pushing you, prodding you, enticing you into something new, something that would turn out to make all the difference. Was it as it was for Paul McCartney in his hour of darkness? A vision of Mother Mary whispering words of wisdom? Let it be. Was it, after years of looking for love in all the wrong places, a dawning realization that he, Jesus, loves you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you just knew you should be glad. To be a Christian, theologian Will Willimon writes, is not to believe a half dozen impossible things before breakfast. It is to be intellectually open to the possibility that something's afoot, that the life you live may not be your own, that God really does mean to have God's way with the world through you. It is to believe that God really is determined to have you, come what may, that God has plans for you. We are here because God, in Jesus Christ, journeyed out and got us and put us here. Friends, hear the good news. The long and winding road will never disappear. It leads to your door. And God is on your doorstep, gently knocking. Won't you let him in?